The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Why were you born? Why are you alive? Is there really a purpose for your existence? Are you sure? Can you prove it, my friends? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, "Why were you born?" Part 1. Now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, Sir Winston Churchill said before the American Congress during World War II, "There is a great design and purpose being worked out here below." Yet growing waves of teenager suicides and murders in the United States helps us realize that many young people have no real purpose in their lives. Though often coming from church-going families, these teenagers feel a profound emptiness in their lives. They, along with millions of adults, wonder continually, "Why am I alive?" And the so-called answers they are often given leads to confusion, frustration, and emptiness. So why are you and I really alive? Think about it. What is the great purpose being worked out here on this earth? Scientists admit they don't know. Educators and philosophers do not know. Most professing ministers and priests do not know. The genuine answer is contained in the inspired instruction manual from our Creator, the Holy Bible. And yet people don't really study it for what it believes and what it says. But the real answer contained in your own Bible goes way beyond what even most professing Christians understand. Are you willing to open your Bible and prove these profound truths? These are profound truths. Think about it. Are you personally willing to let your Creator, through His inspired Word, tell you why you were born? Go get your Bible. Don't believe me. I don't ask you to do that. Believe what you read in the pages of your own Bible. First of all, turn with me to Psalm. Turn back to the Psalm. Psalm 8 and verse 3. David was inspired to write some very profound things here. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3. David wrote, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've ordained," as David as a shepherd boy and then later a young man, a young king, looking up to the heavens, he wondered about all of this. He said, "What is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" Why are we so important? Why do we think we're the center of the universe? "For you have made him a little lower than the angels," not way lower, a little lower, "and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion." Human beings, by God, are made to have dominion. Dominion means rule, control, governorship over the works of your hands. "You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field." Yes, the great big lions and tigers that are bigger and more powerful than we are. Yet we've been given a kind of mind to control and to have mastery over those wild beasts and other forces more powerful than we are. "All the sheep and oxen, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Eternal, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." The name, the authority, the personality of the great God is powerful when you come to understand the true God. We want to really realize that fact. Picture the glory of the vast universe out there. The awesome creation. This demands a creator. And that creator had a great purpose in his creation. Think about it. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of your Bible. Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to begin at verse 1, the very first word in the Bible. In the beginning. In the beginning. Now, some old-fashioned Christians and so-called Christian scientists have tried to say that was 6,000 years ago. That was not 6,000 years ago, my friends. That might have been several billion years ago, as the scientists say. They don't know either. Some of them say 6 billion, some of them say 18 billion or 24 billion. They toss around billions of years in their conjectures and theories like ping pong balls. They do not know either, and the great scientists, Nobel-winning scientists, contradict one another on these matters. They do not know. But it could have been billions of years ago. God does not say. That's the point. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was, or became, as the original Hebrews shows, without form and void, chaotic and confused, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, the power of God. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God began to create the heavens and the earth as we know them, or to recreate them, and make them fit for man. In verse 26, after creating all of the animal life, then God said, verse 26, "Let us make man in our image." Notice this, my friends. God didn't say, "Let me." He said, "Let us." Because as many Bible scholars admit, at the very beginning, there were two personalities. God, the one we call God the Father, and the Logos, or spokesman, who emptied himself later to become Jesus the Christ and die for the sins of humanity. The spokesman of the Old Testament, acting for God the Father and speaking for God the Father. "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the creeping things on the earth." So God created man in his own image. We're made like God. We're made in the form and shape of God, except God is spirit. But beyond that, we have a type of mind. There is a spirit in man that gives man a creative capacity going way beyond what the animal life can even remotely come up with. We know that. Animals don't invent computers. Animals don't invent fine Swiss watches. Animals don't invent, of course, these outer space vehicles, do they? They just do not. So God made us to a limited extent in his own image and gave us the kind of mind he has. And we can come to know right and wrong if we want to, and choose between the right and wrong, and resist the wrong and do the right. That's another thing man can do. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Both of us are made in the image of Almighty God, and we have awesome potential. At this point, my friends, I urge you to call aright for a complete explanation of this entire topic on a free audio tape. This tape is entitled, as is this program, "Why Were You Born?" And it will go way beyond what I have time to give you on this program. You'll be given precious and inspiring knowledge about the true purpose for your life. So call or write today.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic. Let's turn again to Genesis 1:26. We've been talking about why were you born, and we find here in the Word of Almighty God that God made us in his image. He said, "Let us," not me, more than one, God the Father and the one who became God, the Christ, the Son of God. "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion." And as I've explained, my friends, we are like God in many ways. We have creative capacity like God. We have ideas. We have conjectures. We have the kind of mind that can reason in a way no other creature does. And we're made in the physical shape and form of Almighty God. God made us in many ways to be like he is, and we need to recognize that fact. And then he goes on here to say in verse 28, "Then God blessed them, male and female, and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion.'" Man is to be given dominion over the fish of the sea, the beasts of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God has rule, God has authority, but man is given certain rule and authority because man is to learn lessons to become like his Father, to become like God. And God can become our Father, our real Father, our spiritual Father, in a way very few fully understand. So let's realize that fact. We are to be made like God, and we're given limited dominion and authority like God, even here and now. Man is able to put these vast space vehicles into the vastness of space. Animals can't do that. Think about what man can do. Man is able to invent these computers, and now they can sort out billions and billions of pieces of information in 1 second. And that is absolutely astounding. You think, how can that all happen all of a sudden? But they're able to do that. Man has infinite capacity. How big is your God? I want you to think about that at this point. If little man, little puny man down on this little planet, out in the darkness of space we call Earth, is able to do that, how big is your God? What kind of mind made your mind? Your mind had to be made by something, and I think most of you realize that if you meditate upon it. Your mind had to be made by an even greater intelligence. What made the mind? Who made the mind of man? We're made like God in a lot of ways we don't understand and don't fully appreciate. And we're made to be full sons of God in a way that most Christians have never remotely realized or understood. So I want you to think about those things today. Hebrews chapter 2 and beginning in verse 5. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, Paul wrote, in subjection to angels. Angels are not going to be in charge of tomorrow's world. They're not going to be the gods, the leaders of the society under Jesus Christ in the future. But one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You made him a little lower than the angels. Remember, David wrote that. You crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over the works of your hands and have put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, that's quite a statement. But Paul goes on here in the New Testament beyond what David was inspired to write and adds some things. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. That's quite a statement. Some of the biblical commentaries written by great scholars of the Greek and Hebrew and all of that, they puzzle over this because they admit that the expression all things must include the entire cosmos, the entire universe, everything that is. You know out there, my friends, that men have always wanted to conquer the highest mountain. They wanted to conquer the widest ocean, and now they're wanting to conquer space. They think they've conquered space because they've got man out a little ways from this earth, but very little ways when you understand how big the universe is. But man wants to conquer the universe. Man has the innate idea, the innate thought in his mind, and he's capable of having that, to want to conquer the universe, you see. And God says he's put all things under him. And frankly, someday man will be able to, quote, conquer, end quote, the universe. Not to conquer it, but to go here and there, but not in these physical bodies as we have them now, where it would take generation after generation after generation living in enclosed space vehicles, very uncomfortable life, and all that, in order to get to some of the even closer planets at the speed of light. So we need to grasp that fact. Someday we'll have the opportunity to do what man wants to do. We have the kind of mind, but we do not have the spirit body to go with it yet. And God says in his word here, for in that he put all in subjection under man, he left nothing, nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. No, of course we don't. Paul finishes out the sentence, all things are not yet under man. You know, Yuri Gagarin went out just a few hundred thousand miles from the earth and he said, I've conquered space. Well, of course, he hadn't conquered anything. It's kind of like a little, a needle or something sticking out from my finger. That's how much the needle would fill this whole studio I'm in or fill the whole earth or something by comparison. Practically nothing by comparison. We haven't conquered space at all. We've just begun to scratch the surface. But someday, man will be able to conquer space and to go from here to Alpha Centauri, or the far farthest planet in the universe, planets even further than that, of course, and we will have a spirit body as full sons of God to enable us to do that very thing. We do not yet see all things put under man, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels. You see, even Jesus was made fully human, a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone, that he might be our Savior to reconcile us to God so we'd become fully reconciled and be like our Father in a way that we are not now at all. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, because he created everything, and by whom are all things, in bringing, notice, many sons to glory. Jesus is bringing many sons. He's not going to be the only Son of God. He's bringing many sons to what? Not to be like, compared to Christ, like goats or cows or pigs or something like that. We're to be the brothers of Jesus Christ. We're to be full sons of God, just like Jesus was. That's what these passages are saying, and like Jesus is right now, sitting in glory at the right hand of God, with his face blazing like the sun, and awesome power and majesty so bright the human face cannot look upon it and live. That's the kind of glory that the full sons of God will have someday when they're born of God, as we'll see, born of the resurrection from the dead. You have an awesome, incalculable future when you think about it. And we need to understand where we're headed and why we're alive, why we were born. He says, in bringing many sons to glory, not to something insignificant, but to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. We've all come from God. And if we're converted, we have the same Spirit. We'll have the very Spirit of God in us, for which he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing praise to you. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Yes, Christ is going to bring many sons to glory. We want to really appreciate deeply and think about these verses. These verses have been in your Bible all the time, and they're very significant, very, very powerful. Let's turn back to the book of Romans now at this time, my friends. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good, Paul writes, to those who love God. And we have to love, really love God, and that means obey him and serve him. To those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. If he calls us, he wants us to be like Jesus Christ. What is Christ like? Well, of course, as I've said, if you look up in Revelation 1 and verse 13, Christ's face blazes like the sun in full glory. So we're to be made like Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. There will be many other brethren, and they will share that glory and that power and that majesty along with Jesus Christ. That's what we have to think about. God is calling us for something that is inestimable in our human understanding, something we cannot fully grasp. So let's deeply appreciate that fact and think on these things. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, if you just set your mind on physical things, you will die. But if by the Spirit, the Spirit of God, you put to death the deeds of the body, you control through the help of God's Spirit your physical lusts to hate, to hurt, to hurt others, to put them down, for sexual filth, for drugs, for outlandish, unlawful things in this world. If you put down those things and control the lust of the flesh, control your body through the help of God's Spirit, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're begotten sons right now, having God's Spirit within us, if we're led by God's Spirit. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, as the NIV has it, the spirit of sonship by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out and can talk to God, Daddy, Father. Abba means a very deep, personal, intimate type feeling, beyond even Father. Daddy, Father, we can feel toward God, because God can become and will become, if we truly give our lives to him through Jesus Christ, our real Father, a Spirit Father living in us through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, the Spirit in man, the recognition of these spiritual things that God gives us, that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. We're not inheritors yet, we're just heirs. Heirs of God, and notice, joint heirs with Christ. Now, if we're joint heirs with Christ of the entire universe and of the kind of glory and power that Jesus has, what does that involve? Let's be honest. Let's not play word games. We're joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And Christ is glorified, sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, His face blazing like the sun, as I've explained. Will we have that glory, or is God simply playing word games here? Is God kidding Himself or kidding us? Well, I think you know better than that. For I consider, Paul wrote, that the sufferings of this present time, the trials and the tests that you and I go through, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Not to us, my friends, but in us. We won't see the glory over there. The glory will be revealed in us when we partake of the divine nature and we have the very nature of God in us and are born of God at the resurrection from the dead. So let's understand our calling. Back in Revelation chapter 1 and beginning in verse 4, the Apostle John, the beloved Apostle, is writing, John to the seven churches in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come. That is, from the living Jesus Christ, now resurrected, sitting at the right hand of God, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. So here is Christ. Notice, He's the firstborn from what? He's the firstborn from the dead. Christ is born again, but He was born from the dead by a resurrection. And the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us, in His plan, God and Christ, have made us kings and priests to the glory of God, to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He has made us, or made us to be, kings and priests, and we're going to have a tremendous glory. That's our calling, to be kings and priests on this earth under Jesus Christ, in the coming millennial rule, the thousand-year rule of Jesus on this earth. Notice now Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my work until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. If we keep Christ's works, if we obey Him, serve Him, do His will to the end of our lives, or the end of this age, He says, to him I will give power. Great power, that's what we're going to have. That's God's will. To him I will give power over the nations. Not rebellious nations up in heaven. There aren't any wicked nations up there. Nations on this earth. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the potter's vessel shall be broken in pieces, as I also have received from my Father. Jesus is speaking here. I have received this too. He was going to be a king, but He's the King of kings. And the true saints of God who are willing to give their lives to God now and mean it are going to be ruling right along with Jesus Christ in the world tomorrow, in tomorrow's world, as we call it on this program, the coming kingdom of God. Notice chapter 5 now, Revelation chapter 5, and beginning in verse 9, the inspired prayer of the saints. And what do they say under inspiration? They sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us by God, to us by God, by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. You have made us kings and priests. God has done that in His plan. And we shall reign. We shall rule. The saints of God. Where? Not up in heaven, but on this earth. That's where we will be. That's where the problems are. We will help Jesus Christ, assist the ruling, reigning Jesus Christ in the kingdom or the government of God, ruling over cities, ruling over nations, helping straighten out the problems, teaching people God's way. And at the beginning, with the people of the world all mixed up and hurting and suffering, we will bring them back as they're suffering and crying and repenting and comfort them, help them, heal them, bless them, and then teach them the way of God. This is the way, walk you in it. we will say, and teach them God's laws, teach them how to love God and how to love their fellow man. This is what God is enabling us to do. So let's think about this. Those truly surrendered to God will be made glorified spirit rulers in the kingdom or family of God. If we fully surrender to God through Jesus Christ, we're destined to become full sons of God and fulfill this awesome purpose. Let's turn now to 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, and beginning in verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, and we are to abide in God, that when He appears we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Let's walk with God and be ready. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices, who constantly does righteousness, is born or begotten of Him as it should be. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. We shall be like Christ. That's what it says. It says that. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We have this awesome opportunity to be like Jesus Christ. He is our full brother. We have the hope to fulfill the purpose of human existence, the purpose for which you and I draw breath, the reason we have to go through trials and tests. Again, my friends, write today for this powerful free audio tape explaining in even greater detail why you were born. This tape will give you insight into the supreme purpose for your life that you probably never dreamed of.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
And tune in each week at this same time for Tomorrow's World. Richard Ames and I will be giving you updated prophetic messages, keys to making your life more successful, and a real understanding of the purpose for your very life. See you right here next week.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579 or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.